join me for the urination session of the week. Unfortunately, you're late. I've already finished urinating. I suppose, in a way, that's not your fault. It's up to me to start recording at the appropriate juncture. And if I don't start recording at the appropriate juncture, it's up to me to not label it a urination session of the week. And cynically accuse the listener of being late. But I don't abide by my own rules all the time. Why should I? I'm my own boss. Why should I take orders from myself? It's not like I'm self-employed. If I was, I still wouldn't take orders from myself, because that would defeat the purpose of being my own boss. I've had someone issuing orders to me, and that someone knew all of my thoughts, and I knew all of their thoughts. That would probably cause some sort of whatever that word is. It wouldn't cause the word, but it would cause the thing that word refers to. I forget what it's called. Where there's a contradiction in physics in the universe, and basically the world implodes on itself. And we don't want that happening, so that's why I don't take orders from myself.
It looks like it's going into your head. I think it's going into your head. Oh, it's definitely going into your head.
Now, join me at a tremendously exciting moment. It's into your head. Number 118. I'm Neil O'Carroll. You're not Neil O'Carroll. You're somebody else. If you were Neil O'Carroll at the moment, you'd be very tired. But you'd be very happy as well, because you've got a day off. But you'd be a little disappointed because you woke up on your day off at the same time that you'd normally wake up if you had to get up and go somewhere. So you got less sleep than you would have liked to get on your day off. But I suppose there's still time. If I go to bed early, any sleep that I have before midnight counts as sleep on my day off. And any sleep that I have after midnight doesn't account as a Saturday sleep. But it'll still be as rejuvenating as a day off sleep. I suppose technically a Saturday sleep is a day off if you don't work on Saturdays, which is in the case in my world. Well, for me anyway, in my world, I don't work on Saturdays. Other people do though. The ambulance drivers work on Saturdays, unless they have the day off, in which case other ambulance drivers work on Saturdays in their place. I'm sure there's at least one ambulance driver per ambulance working on a Saturday, unless they use less ambulances or something, or they merge them, like they do with a train. Sometimes in peak times, they stick a couple of more carriages onto a train, so they effectively have two trains stuck together. So that only needs one driver. They probably do the same with ambulances. I don't know. I'm not sure. Do they have articulated ambulances? And if they do, how the hell do you get the doors open on the back of the front ambulance if there's another ambulance stuck on, taped on behind that? I don't know how the hell you're going to get at it. Maybe they take off the back ambulance first to make sure that the first stop off they're making at a hospital is for the person in the rear ambulance, and then they just leave that ambulance at a hospital and drive on in the front ambulance, and then someone else, I don't know, maybe they go back and collect the empty ambulance later. It's like basically like having trolleys that you leave at a hospital, except you're not leaving a trolley, you're leaving an ambulance. Now that would be inconvenient, because you can't push an ambulance up a hospital trolley to the emergency room. You'd have to move the patient out of the ambulance. Hopefully he'll be on a trolley in the ambulance and you can use that. But you still have the issue of an ambulance that nobody can drive and has to be picked up later by a qualified ambulance driver, or an ordinary driver. But the ordinary driver won't be able to drive at emergency speed. He'll just be able to drive at normal speed. In fact, lower than normal speed, because he'll be driving it at the lower speed limits which are in place for vans and trucks in this country. That's assuming this is all happening in this country, which is, I know, because this is all in my world we're talking about. Now, you join me at a reasonably interesting moment, I suppose. That's not how I expect you to judge and rate on a scale of 1 to 10 all of my moments. The moment doesn't have to be exciting at all. If you go on, well, not if you go on, if you switch on your television and you watch the news, the newsreader doesn't have to be having a tremendously exciting moment every time he or she starts presenting the news, as long as she has an interesting moment to report that happened earlier somewhere in the world, then it's all fine. I don't expect a news reader to be standing on top of a tree holding a gorilla and pointing a gun at something for entertainment and stimulation. Oh no, they're usually just sitting at a desk in a plain suit and tie, or not a suit and tie if they're a woman, not all the time anyway, and they're not necessarily having a tremendously exciting moment themselves, but they do have news of a tremendously exciting moment, or perhaps four or five of them, and the special interest story and the weather forecast, and that gets them through. You don't see people turning away from the news media just because they're all sitting at desks doing nothing. No, everyone understands. The newsreader isn't there to do stuff. The newsreader is there to report stuff that someone else did, or stuff that happened to someone else. And that's not to say that if something exciting happened in the news studio or happened to a newsreader, they wouldn't report it, and it wouldn't be a good news story. For example, if someone burst into the studio and shot the newsreader dead, then that would be an excellent news story in terms of excitement and stimulation. It's just that there would be nobody there to report us because the news reporter would be dead. So that would be a problem. Perhaps they could just then have one of those things where they just show the raw footage with no reporting, like they do on the Reuters news feed, I assume. I've never looked at the Reuters news feed, but I assume they show raw footage of stuff which other news agencies can then pick up on, although the bosses then probably wouldn't be very happy about that, because other news channels would still have their live reporters, and they could take the raw news feed and put their reportage over it and improve on it, and basically profit from that newsreader's death. So I think what would probably happen is that they would have a standby newsreader or reporter on duty who would come in and do the reportage. They probably have someone standing right there behind the camera watching out for gunmen and ready to take over at the first hint of gunfire. Hopefully they don't jump the gun, because if the newsreader doesn't get shot and doesn't die, he or she is going to be offended if someone takes over straight away when he or she is still perfectly capable of reporting. And that's going to cause internal politics and power struggles. But we'll worry about that when it happens. Suffice to say, you join me at a reasonably interesting moment. I'm putting an empty can in a bag to avoid a smell emanating from the bin, and I'm putting it inside an empty bread container. So I suppose it's not a bread container anymore. It no longer contains bread, so it's a former bread container. And in a way, it was more a bread wrapping than a bread container. It didn't contain the bread very well. When I opened it, the bread came out, although that was with the help of my actions. So I suppose it's not really a design fault at all. The bread container is supposed to be easily openable, so you can get the bread out. You don't want to spend 2 days trying to get the bread out of the container, because otherwise, by the time you get it out, it's going to have gone off, gone mouldy. Although I suppose that's why they make good, sturdy bread containers, so that the bread stays fresh for longer. So I don't know. That's a segment. You're thinking, he's going on a lot about his world. What about my world? This should be made relevant to the world in which I live in. Well, in my world, you live in my world. I can see you right there. You're there in your car, listening to this on your iPod. In my world, you have a very nice car, so be grateful to be in my world. And in my world, I probably shouldn't tell you that, because it's the equivalent of a time traveller coming back in time and telling you something about your future, that you might be better off not knowing. I shouldn't be telling you stuff about the other world in which you live, in my world. My world, by the way, is made up of several parallel universes. There's another universe in my world, where you're not in my world. You don't exist in that universe in my world. Don't go blaming me for that. I didn't create that parallel universe. It's nothing to do with me. It just happens to exist in my world. So it's unfortunate, I know, but there's probably another parallel universe in here in my world in which there's 8 million clone copies of you, and you each take turns for 78 years being you, and when one of the yous wears out, you transfer all your soul and your thoughts to the other you, the clone, and you start all over again. So you have a great life in that world, in that particular parallel universe. So don't go complaining about the other one where you're dead, because you can't have everything. You can only live in one universe anyway. There's no point worrying about what's happening to the other you in the other parallel universe, because if you worry about that, if you're happy in one parallel universe and sad in the other, and you take both on board, then they're going to cancel each other out, and you'll cause some sort of nuclear thing. We don't want a nuclear thing, especially at this moment in history. We've enough going on with all the economic crap. We've got Obama. Barack Obama as President of the United States. He's going to sort all that out. He's going to give all the money to the black people who are poor and make them all rich. The white people don't mind because they're all already rich. So everyone's going to be rich. And then after 8 years we're going to get another president who's going to be green. He's going to have green and have small ears and three heads. He's going to look suspiciously like a character out of Star Trek, the original television series, except 40 years older, because even actors age. Now I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking those actors with four heads in Star Trek didn't really have four heads. They were wearing a suit, and the suit doesn't age, so if they put the suit back on, they would just look exactly the same as they did in the 1950s or whenever it was made. Well, that's not true. The suit may not have aged in terms of looking like an older four-headed person, but it won't fit the way it used to. It'll have stretched in the wash, so it'll look a bit odd, and that way it'll happen to make the actor look older than not older than he is, but older than he was the first time he wore it in the original Star Trek series. So it all balances out. Now, I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking his computer is being very noisy in the background. It must be working very hard to cope with processing the previous segments that he's just recorded. That's what you're thinking. Well, you'd be perfectly right about that. I don't know why you have to go pointing it out every time it happens. I don't go around to your house and say, you seem to be scratching your head at the moment as you're talking to me. You must have an itchy head, so you've decided to put your fingers up to your head and move them in back and forth until the itch goes away, and then you're going to put your hand back down and put it in your pocket, and then you're going to carry on talking to me. No, I wouldn't do that. That would be rude, especially if the scratching was caused by nits, or at least if the itch was caused by nits. The scratching wouldn't be caused by nits unless you had so many nits living in the hairs on your hands that they were able to move your hand as a community of millions of nits swarming around your hand. But if that was the case, you'd probably be half dead. You'd probably have leprosy or something. And then I wouldn't be in your house, because I'm not going to come round to your house and risk getting leprosy. I've read parts of the Bible. I know what happens. If you touch someone who has leprosy, your hand falls off, and then they eat it, because they're all gone mad. And then other stuff happens that I would rather not think about, if you don't mind, because this is my day off. I want to enjoy it. I don't want to think negative thoughts about getting diseases from leprosy, overwhelmed people, not leprosy infested people, that's the word I'm trying to think of, not over leprosy overwhelmed. It wouldn't be overwhelmed because their brain is eaten away, so it's impossible for them to become overwhelmed, overwhelmed at all by anything, because they're not thinking straight, they're not thinking at all, they're basically a leper is a zombie. Once the leprosy gets going, once they have full blown leprosy, a leper is basically a zombie. They're going around with half a head and one hand, bits of their body flying around all over the place, leaving bits of their fingers on seats at bus stops. And you don't know which of them is the actual person. If enough body parts fall off, you could have a leg and an arm and half of a head sitting over there, and the other half of a head and a leg and an arm and half a torso sitting at the other end of the room, and you don't know which is the actual person. You could be wanting to have a conversation with them, but you wouldn't know which of them to look at. Do you look at the head and the arm and the leg that's sitting on the sofa, or do you look at the other half of the head and the bit of a torso and the foot that's sitting at the armchair at the other end of the room? I don't know which is the person and which is the pile of body parts that are falling off the person. There's just no way of knowing whatsoever. So there's basically the best way to talk to a leper is online, because then we're all the same online. It's just like in the afterlife. Rich and poor are all together and equal. It's harder for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich leper to look any different from anyone else when he's talking to you online on MSN Instant Messenger or something. So let that be a lesson to you all. Just far ahead. It came as a surprise to me, I have to say. I wasn't expecting it. I only noticed when I noticed a very strong smell emanating from the place where from, if you would expect it to emanate. But I've only eaten toast today. I don't know, maybe it's something to do with whatever I ate last night. But it's a particularly powerful one. It's particularly pungent. You can probably smell it at the moment. In your mind, though, you're imagining the smell. It's as if I'm broadcasting the smell as a television signal, and the wave is coming through to your television, and your television is interpreting it and turning it back into a picture. But what you have to remember there is that you're not actually receiving the picture. You're receiving a digital signal or an analog signal, and your television is assembling it back into a picture. But the picture could be wrong. The television station could send out an image of a cat and turn it into television waves, and then it arrives in your television, and your television reassembles it as an image of a piece of grass or something that happens to look slightly like a cat if you're lucky. That's why we had to switch over to digital television. So basically that's what's happening with my farts, possibly. You're not smelling the actual fart. You're receiving an image of a fart and reassembling it and then imagining the smell. And you might smell roses, but that's not what my fart smells like. So don't believe everything you read on the television about my farts. Suffice to say, it's a very smelly one. It's lucky you're not here at the moment, and you're fortunate if your television misinterprets my fart as something that smells nice. So don't feel bad. Unless you've paid a lot of money for the fart channel package on your cable television, in which case I'm not on that. If I was, I'd be expecting you'd get part of the subscription fee, but I'm not, so you're probably not even getting my fart channel because I don't have one. You're getting somebody else's farts, and what's more, they're being misinterpreted by your television. So basically, it's a waste of money. Now, we've reached a juncture in today's show. I need a piss. Now I know what regular listeners are thinking there. You're thinking, yay, this time it's going to be another urination session of the week. We haven't had one of those for a while. Well, unfortunately, I'm going to disappoint you because I'm not using my portable voice recorder at the moment. So I'm going to have to, unless this piece of string that's attaching me to the computer is long enough to reach the toilet, which I know for a fact it isn't. Well, I don't know for a fact, but I assume that unless there's some sort of visual trick or deception, this piece of string that's attaching my head to the computer at the moment is definitely not looking long enough to reach the bathroom, not even the downstairs one. I'm downstairs at the moment, but my house is huge. I live in a mansion, and there's certainly, you certainly need a lot more than a 2 meter piece of cord if you want to attach yourself from a computer to the toilet. Even if you only come within 2 feet of the toilet and spray the rest of the way, that could be messy anyway, so I'm not going to try that. Suffice to say, I'm going to go for a wee, so I think I'll call a halt to the current show and start a new one when I come back all refreshed. So when you hear the next show after this and you hear me at the beginning sounding very refreshed and empty, that's a sign that I've just had a piss between shows. Rest assured that I'll do my best to make it as entertaining as possible. I'll even though I'm not on the air with the urination session of the week, I'll do the usual standard of urination, and you can rest assured that even though you're not witnessing it, it's a proper, everything's going to be done properly. Because I bring my work home with me. I go, if I'm not recording myself urinating, I'm still thinking of the non-listener who's listening to this. Whatever.
Email us at studio@intoyourhead.com. Stalk us forum guest book, intoyourhead.com.
Online voicemail system,
intoyourhead.com.
Sit, Kofi, sit. Good cat.
IntoYourHead.com.